Okay.
Good morning. Of course, the shiur is going to be dedicated to the schus of our three young men who are being held captive. Tragic situation we find ourselves in. Yaakov, Naftali, and Rachel, Gilad, Michael, Ben Bat Galin, Ayal, Ben Edis, Teshura. I just want to read one thing that I just started crying this morning as I read it. It was Jerusalem Post. They're describing a tshura that took place yesterday in the Knesset. Opposition, coalition, left, right, religious Zionist, Haredi, secular, men, women, MKs, aides, Knesset staff, lobbyists, and press. Hundreds of people squeezed into a conference room to say afternoon prayers and recite psalms. Among those who attended the unprecedented prayer service were Yuli Edelstein. He was the one who, it seems from the picture, said, Yuli said, Tillman, opposition leader Isaac Herzog, Agriculture Minister Yair Shamir, Housing and Construction Minister Uri Ariel, and MKs from Yisrael Beitenu, Likud, Yesh Atid, Labor, Shas, United Torah, Judaism, and Hatinua. What it takes to bring us together. But that's a kiddush Hashem. So I got all choked up this morning. Just maybe left over business from last week. Who is the gentleman that gave me this Amazon information? What's your name? R.G. Schwartz? He printed out from Amazon that I didn't know. Somebody put out the Forgotten Ally in mass market paperback. $16.16. And hardcover ones you can get from $9 and up. Go to Amazon. If you want to get the book that we talked about in last week's year, and those of you who weren't at last week's year, you can go onto the website and get last week's year, which was worthwhile. By the way, not only last week's year was worthwhile, but the year was based on a book published in 1943, a book written by Pierre Van Passen called The Forgotten Ally. I can't go into the whole description, but the book is an absolute must. If you can get it in paperback. I don't get any commission on this. I don't stand to gain anything by all of this. And once I said that I don't stand to gain anything from this, I think that can lead directly into this morning's shiur. Parshat Korach. Parshat Korach. Number one. We know what Parshat Korach is about. It's a rebellion against Moshe. It's led by Korach from the tribe of Levi. And there are 250 heads of the tribes that are with him. And there's Dathan, Aviram, On, Ben Peles is there at the beginning of the rebellion against Moshe. And he disappears. We know the famous story with that. On, Ben Peles went home for lunch. And after he finished lunch, he wanted to go join the uprising again, and his wife told him, "You're not going out of this house." If Korach wins, you're going to be On. If Moshe wins, you're still going to be just plain On Ben Peles. So stay away, don't have anything to do with them, and a good wise wife saved her husband's life. You heard the rhyme? I didn't mean that. A wife saves a life. Saved his life. Anyway, the rebellion, yes. Yes, she sat. Hannah is adding to this. The Medrash says that she sat at the opening of her tent with her hair uncovered. So anybody who came to get home, an Isha with her hair uncovered, they would look, so they left. And that's it. Whose machine is this?
Kenny's turning off.
It's making noise.
Push the red button. What are the other one?
Tell Kenny to look at the website. Vayishlach Moshe, Likro the Dosson to Avigon Bnei Eliyahu. Moshe sent to call Dosson to Avigon. Vayom, and they said, Lo Na'aleh. They refused to answer the summons of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu wants to talk to them. He wants to negotiate with them. I mean, you have to try and stop this rebellion before it spreads. Who knows what's going to happen? We're talking about one of the great crises in the desert. And this is yet coming on the heels of the Meraglim. And they refuse to talk. Dosam Rabbeinu are telling Moshe, you have no partner in this machlokas. You have nobody to talk to. And then they say the next pasuk is the pasuk that I consider to be the ugliest pasuk in all of Tanakh. Hamaat ki helitanu me eret zavas cholav duvash. It's not enough that you took us out of a land flowing with milk and honey? Mitzrayim, Auschwitz, the house of bondage. That's Eretz Zavas Cholom and Vash, a land flowing with milk and honey. You hear what these fellows are saying? Lahamiteinu b'midbar, to kill us in the desert. Ki tistorer aleinu gam tistorer, that you should seek to dominate us. Even to dominate us further? I saw in Hanan Porat Sefer, he says that there are three parts to this puzzle. He just analyzes the puzzle simply as it stands. The first part of the puzzle, of course, is that the argument is you took us out of a land flowing with milk and honey. You understand? Treblinka, Sobibor, whatever you want. All the slave labor camps of Mitzrayim are a land flowing with milk and honey. The second is, how much ugly you can get. You took us out in order to kill us in the desert. I mean, the man is the great savior, and these fellows are saying that you took us out to kill us in the desert. It's unbelievable. And the third, is to rule over us. Gam yistareh, to rule us physically, us, and whatever belongs to us. You are the one who dominates us. I mean, it's an unbelievable passage. Of course, between the last time we talked about it, about this passage some years ago, and now, so in the interim, of course, we have discovered the real meaning of Zavas Cholov Udvash, flowing with milk and honey. No, there may have been a lot of milk in Mitzrayim, and there may have been a lot of honey in Mitzrayim, but you are the few people in the world that know the real meaning of Eretz Zavas Cholov Udvash. What we said a number of months ago, that the Eretz Zorah's Cholov Udvash, the flowing of milk and honey of Eretz Israel, is different than the Cholov Udvash any place else in the world. As we pointed out, Israeli cows, Jewish cows, give more milk than any other cow in the whole world. Our distancing American cows, Hashlubin, European Union cows, Japanese cows, and Australian cows, they all take second, third, fourth, and fifth place to good Jewish cows. Jewish cows give about 11,000 liters a year. Australian cows give about 5,000, unbelievable. And also we pointed out that Jewish cows are the only ones in the world that have to be milked three times a day. No other cow in the world has to be milked three times a day. That means the Zovas Chol is not that it's milk, as we pointed this out. It's miraculous milk. And the Dvash, as we pointed out, that Israel has developed the largest date, an 8 to 10 centimeter long date, so that what we learned in this past year, and I shared that with you, that Eretz Zorah's Chol and Dvash is not just if there's milk and honey, so it's a land flowing with milk and honey, and therefore America is flowing with milk and honey, and Germany is, and England, and every other country in the world is flowing with milk and honey. What these fellows didn't understand is what you now know. I don't know how many other Jews in the world know it. After, and maybe now, if they'll watch this this video, they'll know already what kind of, what it means. Flowing with milk and honey is miraculous, unusual, different. No other Cholov Udvash like this in the world. But as far as Dosan and Avinon, listen, it's flowing with milk and honey. But that's not the real ugliness, the fact that they don't know Gold's discovery of the real meaning of Zavas Chol Udvash. It's more than that. The term Eretz Zavas Chol Udvash was coined by God himself in order to describe his country. To lift, borrow, or steal that description and to apply it to any other country in the world is ugliness. You know what it's like? How many tragedies in the world have been called Holocaust? Everything's a Holocaust. Everything's a Holocaust. Racism, terrorist attack in Afghanistan, 10 people are killed, it's a Holocaust. The word has been robbed from the Jewish people for only one reason, in order to trivialize it. And what they're doing, Dosan Vavilam, are trivializing the term Eretz Zorah's Chol Udvash. That's the ugliness. And of course the other two, you took us out and they're just playing a lie. You took us out to kill us in the desert. What are they talking about? How do these people get away with it? Ki tistorer elenu, kam tistorer. You want to rule us? You want to rule our bodies? And you want to rule our possessions? By the way, I have certain pet peeves. And over here, I can get away with it. We talked about something that I had written and went through the world where I got very, very upset about a statement that I found in the Haredi press that today in Eretz Yisrael we are in the worst golos of golos by Yidden, that we are under the exile of the heel of Jews. An ugly, false, terrible, terrible statement. It ranks with all the ugliness of the worst anti-Semites in the world. And this comes from Kabbalah, you understand. Except our Jewish statement is worse. The anti-Semites of the world say that we are subduing Palestinians. But no, these Rabbonim who've been saying this. They say Jews are enslaving Jews. That's what Dosan Alechichem say. Ki tistareh oleinu gam tistareh. You're ruling over us. You've enslaved us. We're now the worst goals of all. A goals by Moshe Rabbein. Ugly, ugly state. Now, at least 20 years ago, I pointed out that the statement of Dosan Babichon does not end until after the next pasuk. The next pasuk is also part of their oration to Moshe. You haven't brought us to a land that flows with milk and honey. You have not given us an inheritance of fields and vineyards. Do you think you can gouge out the eyes of these people? We don't want to come up and talk to you. So I pointed out, I had to be about 20 years old, in the Chumash and in Kriya Satorah, there is between the first sentence said by Dosan Babichon and the second, we stop. It's Sheni. Right in middle of the two sentences that are said by Dosan Babichon, we stop. Ki tistoreh aleinu gam tistoreh. Sheni. Yamod. Next aliyah, and then we go on with the second. I am certain that that's part of the healthy sense of the Jewish people. It's like saying lahavdil, to differentiate between a mitzrayim that saw us cholol edvash and an eretz yisrael that saw us cholol edvash. We have to stop in the middle. We can't read those two sentences together in one breath. Lahavdil elef alfei alafim havdalos. How does Moshe Rabbeinu respond? Vayichal Moshe Maod. Moshe was very angry. Vayomer al Hashem, and he said to God, Al tefen el milchatam. Don't turn to the sacrifices. Lo chamor echod mehem no sasi, velo harioti et echad mehem. I have not even taken a single donkey of theirs, nor have I wronged even one of them. Rashi says that of all things, Moshe Rabbeinu is telling God, me rule over them? Me? When I went to Egypt, I took my family and a donkey. It was my donkey. I went there in order to save them. I could have given them a bill for the expenses. They should have paid for that donkey. Everything I paid for, my own pocket, all myself. I'm clean. I haven't taken anything from anybody. What is this? What comes to Moshe Rabbeinu's mind at this moment? Obviously, it's related to the fact that they say, you want to tistoreh oleinu gam tistoreh, you want to rule over us and dominate us. And I said the double language, tistoreh oleinu gam tistoreh, means you want to rule over us, our bodies, our souls, our neshamas, and you also want everything that belongs to us. You're going to rob us blind. That's what you want to do. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'm clean. I never took a penny from anybody. In past years, I said I always loved this pasuk, and I'm not going to go into all the details of it all, but I'll just tell you that when I went for my first job from Baltimore to Toronto, the yeshiva sent me to start a yeshiva in Toronto. I paid my own way. And I had to borrow money in order to pay my way. You understand? They should have paid for it. We're not going to talk about that now. But it just means that for my whole life, I'm able to come to this pasuk and feel Moshe and me. He didn't take expenses for his donkey that took him to Mitzrayim. I didn't take my expenses for traveling from Baltimore to Toronto in order to build a yeshiva. And I didn't have much money. I was a yeshiva bacher. I didn't come from a rich family either. We were rich in a lot of other things, but not in money. Not right. Anyway. There's a tremendous amount in this parsha and that pasuk. It's relevant to today. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do a little jumping around. Turn over for a moment. Number six is the first part of the Haftorah for Parshat Korach. The Haftorah for Parshat Korach is Shmuel, the prophet Shmuel, addressing the Jewish people. They want a king. And he has already anointed a king. And this is sort of his last speech to the Jewish people. Vayomer Shmuel el Ha'am, Shmuel said to the people, Huvnel ha'Gilgal, Unechadesh sham ha'mlucha, let us go to Gilgal and renew the kingdom there. We're going to begin the kingdom of Israel. He already had anointed Saul. Saul was already rising to greatness. And now they made it official, the coronation. They went to Gilgal. The Mishkan was there. And there they appointed Saul as king. Lefnei Hashem, before God in Gilgal. Vayizbuchu Shom Zvok Mishlom Lefnei Hashem. Vayismach Shom Shol V'chol Anshei Yisrael Ad Miyot. Shol and all of Israel were full of great joy. The coronation of the king. First king of Israel. Long live Shol. Vayom Yishmuel Al-Kol Yisrael Shmuel said to all of Israel, Yinei Shemanti B'Golchem. I listened to what you asked me. L'chol Asher Amartam Lei. I listened to you. Everything that you said to me. V'amlich Aleichem Melech. And I have crowned a king for you. V'ato Hinei HaMelech Italeich L'fnechem. Now the king is going before you. V'ani Yisakanti V'safti. I'm old, and safti is the next step after zikna is seva. Mipnei seva tokom v'hadarto p'nei zakein. Zakein can even mean somebody who's reasonably young. It also reasonably, zekanach rachma, the one who acquired wisdom. But seva already means a white beard. And my sons are with you. I walked before you from my childhood until this day. Here I am. Testify about me. Anubi. Neged Hashem v'neged Mashicho. Now we're standing before God in Gilgal. We are standing before His Anointed One, the King of Israel. I want you to testify a bit about me. Et shor mi lo kachti. Whose axe did I take? The chamor mi lo kachti. Whose donkey did I take? Ves mi oshakti. Ves mi ratzoti. Who did I rob? Who did I coerce into doing anything? Umiyad mi lo kachti kofer. And from whom did I take graft? Did I take graft? And because he gave me money, therefore I looked away and didn't judge him. Shmuel is saying the same thing that Moshe Rabbeinu said. I'm clean. No money stuck to my hands. This is extremely important to both Moshe and Shmuel. By Shmuel we can understand it even better, because Shmuel is the one who rises after we have the a period of time where the children of Eli did not go. Eli was the Kohen Gadol. The children of Eli did not go in his ways, and they took from the people. They coerced the people to give them. They took whatever they could from people. Shmuel begins an entire new chapter in the history of the Jewish people. Now, a leader takes nothing for himself. Don't take from the people. And he's the reaction. He is a reaction to the children of Eli, Hophni and Pinchas. Let's go to number 8. Just the pasuk there, the last line. When Hannah brings Shmuel as a young boy, she brings him to the Mishkan. It says, "Umhiil koton taselo imo." His mother made for him a little coat. Ve'ha'altalo miyomim yomima. Every year, as she came up, she brought him a coat. Now, what's so important about this? Maybe she brought him shoes, and she brought him socks, and she brought him underwear. What's the point? I mean, something's written into Mark that that's not the point. Has to be telling us something. So Hanan Parat says, you know what he thinks the meaning of this pasuk is? The meaning of this pasuk is that his mother is training him from childhood. We provide for ourselves. We don't take anything. You're working for the Mishkan, you have the right. What do they call it over here? In the Tlush Maskoret, the be good. Not be good as in English. Everybody should always be good. But be good, bet yud gimel vav dalet, means that workers get an allowance for clothing. Shmuel most probably could have received his clothing from the Mishkan, just like everybody else who worked there. But no. His mother is teaching him, you're different, Shmuel. You don't take anything from anybody. And now we're going to also see about Shmuel, that Shmuel, wherever he went, he traveled throughout Eretz Yisrael to judge the Jewish people. Wherever he went, he took his home with him. And the Gemara says, what does it mean he took his home with him? He has pots and he has pans and he has food. He never took anything from anybody. Moshe Rabbeinu took nothing from anybody. So now, so I'm already getting you all mixed up with everything, let's go to number 4, the top of the page. The top of the page is the Gemara Masechta Brachos, where the Gemara introduces something else that we've learned about in the past. We've talked a number of times about Elisha the Navi and the woman of Shunem, the Shunamit. The one who, when Elisha asked her, is there anything that I can talk to the king about? She makes that great, powerful statement, "Betoch ami onochi yoshen, if I live amongst my people, I don't need anything. I don't want it." She also doesn't want. She also doesn't want from anybody. So it says over there that Elisha used to pass the town of Shunem, and the Shunammite woman said to her husband, "Nasim lo shon mito v'shulchan v'kisei u'menorah. Let us place for him a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp. Let's make a little room for him, so that when the prophet comes through and he wants to lie down and rest, there will be." So now the Gemara derives a lesson from Elisha's acceptance of their hospitality. Amar Abaye v'tamer Rav Yitzchak, Abaye said in the name of Rav Yitzchak, "Harotze lehones yehone, one who wishes to derive benefit from the kindness of others may derive such benefit ke Elisha." Elisha is benefiting from this woman. He's enjoying her hospitality. So the Gemara says, somebody who wants to benefit from one's kindness may do so. But one does not wish to derive any benefit at all from the kindness of others, need not accept such benefit. Kishmuel Haramati, like Shmuel from Ramah. Shmuel didn't benefit from anybody. Shenema, as it says, Uchuvato Haramata, Kishon Beto, he would travel through Eretz Yisrael and then he would return to Ramah, for his home was there. And Rabbi Yochanan said, Rabbi Yochanan was troubled by the verse's final clause. I mean, we know that that's where his home was. What do you have to tell me that when he comes back to Roma, he's coming home? Of course he's coming home. And Rabbi Yochanan said, Shekol makom shahalach sham beiso imo. Shmuel, wherever he went, his house was with him. The verse means that in all places that Samuel visited, his home was with him, for he carried with him all that he might need so that he would not be forced to accept favors from others. So we have over here, the Gemara tells us, two different figures. There's an Elisha who benefits, and there's a Shmuel who refuses to benefit. And the Gemara said that one who wants to benefit like Elisha can benefit, and the one who wants to be like Shmuel can be like Shmuel. What does it mean? So there's a very beautiful Rav Kook immediately to the left, where Rav Kook explains, what's the difference between Elisha and Shmuel? And before we read, I'll tell you basically the idea that he says. Elisha was not a political leader. He wasn't a judge. He was a man of God. He was one who presented the image of what sanctity really is all about. The Gemara, in fact, over there says that the Shunammite was able to see by the fact that she had Elisha in her house, she was able to see what a holy, holy man he was. The Gemara says that the wife is more perceptive about a guest than the husband. She can tell. Oh, can she tell? And she tells her husband, this is an Ish Kadosh. This man is a holy man. So Rav Kook says, the purpose of the Navi was to bring Klal Yisrael closer to God. And you know what that required? That required that there should be some kind of connection, a give and take, a warmth, a closeness. Shmuel is the leader. The leader is a completely different kind of position. He's the man of authority. His hands have to be absolutely clean. Clean. And watch, we'll see. Yesh Misha Osei B'Yichud, I'm reading on the top left-hand corner of the book. Yesh Misha Osei B'Yichud B'Shleimut Nafsho B'Mawe Gevoa Darabos, who are involved in making of themselves great and holy people. Ushleimut zulato, and the fulfillment of, or the growth of others, memelanim shechet, others grow because of him, because of their contact with him. A chosid with his Rebbe, a Talmud and his Hoshiva. They are nurtured by the sanctity, the holiness, the greatness of their Rebbe or Rebbe. Ke'en shahoya Elisha, that's what Elisha was. Ulish kazeh ein hefseid lahashparto b'yoto ne'eneh. A person of this sort, there is nothing lost in his influence if he'll sit down and have kiddush with you, or a leader Shabbos meal with you. On the contrary, therein is the atmosphere of warmth and closeness where one can see, you know, Elisha by their table is like a chuset by a Rebbe's dish. You get Yirah Shemayim from a Rebbe's dish. So there's nothing wrong being your tongue there and there if he enjoys the benefit from others. And through this, people come closer to him. Okay? You give a Rebbe a quittle and a gift with it. There's a bond that is created. And that's the Ruh Mosif Teh Lahem Pri Bracha. From that giving comes blessing. Masha'en Ken. On the other hand, Hashalim Shedarko Liot Mashlumet Zuloso Bechosek Yabu Bepulam Amashit. The one whose task it is to raise a people by virtue of his strength and by actions and deeds, a shofet, a melech, a prime minister, a mayor, you have to be clean. You have to be absolutely clean. Kishmuel Hanavi, l'hadracha zo tuchal ha'anah she'yehena la'azik harbeh. If somebody was in that kind of position, if you begin benefiting from the people, it can cause a tremendous amount of damage. Ki yimak morau, because by benefiting from them, you know what happens? You get a little smaller. And you benefit a little more, you get even smaller. And you benefit a lot, you end up in jail. That's what we're talking about over here. Moshe and Shmuel are going to establish what should be the moral stature of a leader in Israel. Or, if you will, a president. A president. We went through, because we are now involved in, our minds are all in a new tzara that has come upon Klal Yisrael. We could have been in a terrible tzara a week ago. You understand? One candidate for president, we find out, has a 9 million shekel apartment in Yafo. And I was it, 2 million shekel in his dollars in his safe deposit box. that's a long way off from a Shmuel and a Moshe Rabbeinu. And by Moshe Rabbeinu, we're going to see that was a basic and fundamental part of his whole personality, and to be accused by Dasam Vaviram of him benefiting from the people, taking from them, was the worst thing you could say to him. His whole life he dedicates to be clean, and you call him filthy. Let's go back to our quote. Yes?
I still think it could be a serious problem if I still think it could be a serious problem if you have a spiritual leader who maybe is not a shofet, but if he's taking, that already raises questions too.
So I will answer that in a moment. Savanut? Savanut? She's asking me, it can still raise a problem. And we've had problems here with rabbis and Kabbalists, you understand, who have a 300 million, 400 million, own a whole bunch of apartment buildings in Manhattan someplace, and hotels are great. We know all about this, okay? Al-Kain, the last parable, L'shalem ke'elisha bedarko ru'uya ha'anoh u'l'shofet kabir koach leh bishmuel yu'asoma ol shalolihan. For a person who is as pious as Elisha, he can benefit, but the one who is rules as Shmuel can be. Now we have to go to number 7. By the way, you should know, when I prepared the shiur, I one of the things I tried to do is put them in order. But I know this week it was like there was so much going on. I mean, there's an order to where I put it, but I changed the order, so what? Watch. The Marashah is one of the portion on the Gemara, on that Gemara in Brachas, where the Gemara said, Harotza, one who wants to benefit can benefit like Elisha, and the one who doesn't want to benefit can be like Shmuel. Wherever Shmuel went, he had his house. He didn't benefit from anybody. So the Marashah comes along and he defines things more clearly, and that will answer your question. That you know, taking or benefiting or having can be dangerous for anybody in whatever position he finds himself. Hashochad ya'aved enei chachamim v'yisalev divrei tzadikim. Shochad can blind the eyes of a tzadik. So the Marashah says the problem, number 7. Hinei gedola mitzvah haknasas arachim. Shihar gedola v'gemilus hasadim. The mitzvah of haknasas arachim, taking in a person, you know, an oirach, a guest, haknasas arachim. It's one of the great mitzvahs of gemilus chesed. Even the wealthy are in need of achdos hazorchem. Shekol adam, every person, only who baderech, b'li hatashmishim shetzitlo. When a person is on the road, they can be as wealthy when he's on the road, it's just not the same. He needs things. He doesn't always have precisely what he has ready for him ever. V'lokach nokam daf gehani. That's why it said in the pasuk that the Shunamit, only the most basic things you prepare for him, a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp. Shehem tzorech la'odam gam paderech. They are a necessity for a person when he's on the road. V'aleihem nema. And it's about that that it says, Harotze le'honeis yohane, one who wants to benefit should benefit. But not beyond that. Going beyond that can be dangerous even for an Elisha. V'aleihem nema. About that it says, Harotze le'honeis yohane Elisha, the one who wants to benefit should have benefit like Elisha. I will be sharp for him, other things. V'chein. Or if he's not on the road, he's not traveling, he's at home. No benefit from anybody. Elisha wouldn't benefit at all from anybody. But here it is, he's on the road. On the road, he has a din like an army, a person that's poor. And the Marashah brings proof of this. Later on, about Elisha, it says that Naaman, the commander-in-chief of the forces of Aram, was struck down with leprosy, and he came to Elisha, and he asked, they had heard. L'chavdun Elif Alfi Alof Mabdolus, Abbas's wife, was moved to a hospital in Israel. Understand? The big Sinai, huh? In other words, the guy who's fighting with you, and if you're Sinai, he knows if he needs medical help, you know where to come to. This is the place you come to. So the same thing. Abbas's wife comes here. Wait a minute. Hania had a son who was brought here. The head of Hamas. Never, he died. Child, but he didn't trust his child to the hands of his hospitals in Gaza. And then they did whatever they could for the child here. Naaman has sukkot, leprosy. So where in the world can he go to? He has only one place that he is, that is a great Jew living in hateful Eretz Yisrael, their enemies. So he comes to Elisha. Elisha doesn't even go out to say hello to him. There is Naaman with all of his forces around him. And Elisha sends out a message and tells him, go take a dunk in the Jordan. And Naaman comes, what are you talking about? Any little pool in Damascus is greater than the little garnish of a Jordan. So his advisors tell him, listen, If Elisha would have asked your face to stand on your head and do push-ups, you do it. He asked you to go into the Nile, into the Jordan. Go into the Jordan already. What's costed? So he went into the Jordan, and he comes out without tzaraach, completely healed. Naaman comes back, and he wants to pour wealth over Elisha. Not a cent. Elisha refuses to take a plug drachma from him. Nothing. And then, of course, he becomes very upset when he sees prophetically that his servant Gehazi did take, and Gehazi becomes he curses him with leprosy. From the story, the Marsha says, from the story of Naaman, you see that Elisha wouldn't benefit from anybody. The only benefit he took was on the road as he's traveling, a bed, a chair, the simplest things. Because money can turn anybody's head. Let's go back to the number two. We can go through it quickly. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, you know what this is a Medrash Tanchuma. You know what Medrash Tanchuma is talking about? There's a parsha, the last sedra in Sefer Shemot. The parsha is called Parsha Pekudei. What's Parsha Pekudei all about? They've completed building the Mishkan. And Moshe Rabbeinu decides that he is going to give a full accounting. We're talking about billions of shekels. Kesef, Zohar, Nechoshes, diamonds. A tremendous amount of wealth has gone through Moshe Rabbeinu's hands. And he decides that he wants to make an accounting. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Omar David, in the part of the Esau Shua, Chicha, Zer Moshe, Rabban Shukob HaNabiyim, Shedibru Bo. There's a pasuk in Tilum that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, it's talking about Moshe Rabbeinu, the greatest of all prophets, that the Jews spoke ill about him. People spoke against God and Moshe. Omar Moshe. Moshe said, I know, Yodei Ani Shigzul wrote in him. They're complainers. Hareini Oslan Cheshbon Mikol Melechas HaMishkan. They're complainers. Somebody is going to come along someday and say, Moshe Rabbeinu is going to wear a sanu suit. New suit. Of course, new suit. What are you talking about? All that money that went through his hands, you'd think it didn't rub off. You know? Who knows how wealthy he became through this awesome project of the Mishkan. So he says, I'm going to make a cheshbon. We call the letters of Mishkan from everything that was done for the Mishkan. His chalasos cheshbon, he started to make the accounting. That's how the parish begins. These are the accountants of Mishkan. He gives them an exact account on everything. Gold, silver, copper, the keset, 100 tikkah, and elef, 1,700. In Shavuos HaKeshmon, as he's making the accounting, the Holy Al-Koldov Ladova Shasuni, the state of Dovah, he goes step by step, he's making an accounting of everything that they did make in the Mishkan. Ayyavach. Shachach Elef Ushma Meod Vachamisha Vashivim Shekel. He forgot 1,775 shekel. Now, trust me, in the total budget of the Mishkan, 1,775 shekel, wasn't even petty cash. It was even pettier than petty cash. It was absolutely meaningless. It was just plain insignificant. Oh, Rabbi Sharadin, now you're going to get me. Here it is. I'm able to give a cheshen for $10 billion, but there's $2 I can't give a cheshen for. They're going to give it to me. There's another membership where it gets a little more dramatic, where it says, Ab Shehayeh. Another one says that God lit up his eyes and here he's so troubled, he's so upset. What happened to 1,775 shekel until the Rebbeinu lit up his eyes? The hooks that held up the curtains, there were 1,775 hooks. Each hook was made from a shekel of silver. And said, okay? No. There's another significance to that. The significance to that is 1,775 shekel, not significant. But you know what they were? The little hooks. The little hooks held up the whole Mishkan. There's nothing in Torah that you can call small. The smallest things all add up to the total structure that is Torah. Never just, you know, dismiss the small things. An amen, yeshme rabba. Small things. Oy, oy, oy. The small things hold up the entire spiritual structure. So here it is. God has shown him, and then that's what it says over there. He made the hooks. You couldn't see them because they were behind the curtains that they were holding up. But now he doesn't know yet. So he wonders, he doesn't know yet where it is. He forgot about this 1,775 hooks. He can't see them because they're behind the curtains. So now Moshe says, they're going to accuse me of having taken something. So he starts the cheshbon all over again. I took from them. He goes to each and every one. The Tolain of Iraq, and he saw that they were Bavan Amudim. Hiskel Hashalem the Koran. As soon as he made that whole cheshbon, he says, Rabbi Sai, he gives a clap of temptation, he says, Eilat Tekudei HaMishkan, this is the accounting. And in the middle of the accounting, he says, if you don't know the background, you don't get the excitement of the pasuk. The pasuk says, and the 1,775 Shkalim. I imagine anybody who's listening to this is Klausel's listening to this. The guy's given us, Moshe Rabbeinu has given us an accounting of a few billion Shkalim, and then all of a sudden he singles out, wow, and the 1,775, because he knew. Then he nearly had lost it all. His to the Hashem of the Koran, he began to speak in a loud voice, Bet Ha'elet, that's the Pasuk, and the 1,775 that were the hooks. Those are sure at that time it's Paisu Yisrael. Israel was appeased. Okay? Migorano, what caused it? Because he sat down and he made the gantel. Ela b'kudei ha-mishkan. V'loma also cheshbon. Why did he make the cheshbon? HaKadosh Baruch Hu ma'amino. Moshe, what's your problem? God trusts you. God says about Moshe, b'chol beit hinemanu. In my whole house he is most trustworthy. Moshe has to give a cheshbon. אלא מפני ששמע ליצוני הדר. He heard the jokers. The ליצוני הדר, by the way, ליצוני is not really jokers, because I think the ליצוני are those whose joke is acerbic and biting and hurting. There's a kind of comedy that is absolutely destructive, fueled by hate. You know where else we have the term Leitzone Hador? Very good. Very good. The lady back there, she knows exactly what she's talking about. I'll tell you what Mrs. Gold had to say. We didn't practice this at all. At the beginning of Parshas Tolos, it says, Ela Tolos Yitzchak ben Avram, Avram holder is Yitzchak. Why does the Pasuk have to repeat that it was Avram? Yitzchak is the son of Avram. And then the Pasuk repeats, Avram gave birth to Yitzchak. What do you have to say about it? It's totally unnecessary. So Rashi says, Shoyelitzoni Hador Omrim, the Leitzonim said, May Avimelech miss Avram Sarah. That Sarah became pregnant from Avimelech when she was in his house. This you call it Leitzonim? These are destructive, ugly, despicable people. And here were also Leitzoni Hador. The Leitzoni Hador. They talked after him. When Moshe went out of his tent, he talked like Moshe. They looked at him. Reb Yitzchak says they were saying good things about him. And then the Chaveiro Meshivo. So the friend who hears the good things that he's saying about Moshe, he says to Rebbe, you're nothing. Adam Shinisman al Malachas al Mishnah al Kikre Kesab al Kikre Sav Shereim al Cheger Men, who was appointed in charge of the work of the Mishnah with all of its bricks of silver and bricks of gold that can't be counted. Velo Mishnah, you can't weigh it. Velo Minyan, we don't have a number for it. It's awesome, it's massive. Mata Rotsa, what do you want? Shalom Yashir, he shouldn't be wealthy. What are you talking about? It's lots of geklepted stuff all over him. Kishishama came, when Moshe heard this, Amar, he said, Chayekan, I swear, Mishanikman Ramalechas HaMishkan, when I finish the work with the Mishkan, and you know, Telehem Cheshbon, I'm going to give them an accounting. Kimishanikman Ram, when he finished doing his accounting, Amalehem, he said to them, Elech Pekudei HaMishkan. For Moshe Rabbeinu, that doesn't that we should say about him, that you robbed us, you took from us, you enslaved us, we became yours. Is not only something that hurts him more deeply than anything else. And therefore his response is, I didn't even take the expenses for going to Egypt to save them. I could have done it. I had a right to do it, and I didn't do it. So the fact is, in the final analysis, there's a morality of Torah. The morality of Torah is the kind of morality that would make sure there wouldn't be any Holy Land. Anybody who's listening to this out there, I'm not talking about Eretz Yisrael, I'm talking about the Holy Land building project with all of the money that changed hands and all of the hands of bosses of Tzikla, holding in the Eretz Yisrael is the holiest of all lands. So come on, make a mistake out there in the dullest, anybody who's listening or watching. How many mayors? Corruption is we have a problem with corruption. And even the Elisha who, if one doesn't learn the Gemara properly, one would think that, well, you know, if you want to benefit from others, you can benefit from others. No. Law comes to Mashiach, he makes it very, very clear. only under the circumstances that Elisha didn't, while traveling for Colosso, he didn't take a presidential suite that cost $5,000 a night of taxpayer money. You understand? Moshe and Shmuel and Elisha understood truly and fully that Jewish money is holy. Yiddish geld is heilig. Don't. It's a morality that we have to make sure makes its way again into the consciousness of it. But by the way, I hold that. I believe that Amcha Yisrael are a holy people. Unfortunately, it's the some of our political and other leadership. And you know what's good? They're getting caught. They're getting caught. And thank God we didn't end up with a President Fuad or a President Dalia Itzik or who else over there. Thank God the President, I hope they didn't find anything on him. I hope they don't wake up anything on him. We need a dmut, we need an image. He's a fine lady. That's all, he's a fine lady. Yeah, there was another one of the pictures this morning. He went to speak to the Talmidim in Mekor Chaim, the yeshiva from which two of the boys who've been kidnapped are from. We need honesty in the public sector. We need honesty in leadership. That's what Moshe and Shmuel and Elisha represent. Harotzele Honot, not more than Elisha. And Elisha only when he was on the road. And only the most basic, nothing else. And as Rav Kook says, Rav Kook is right, that while Shmuel would not even have spent a night in that room, Elisha had to have, in some way, become close to the people. They should be able to see him, so that she should be able to turn to her husband the next day and say, this man is an Ish Kadosh. Klal Yisrael had to know that there were holy people that walked in their midst. There's a whole morality. And most significant, there's only one source that I didn't get to, I'll tell it to you right now. At the end of Sefer Bamidbar, when Moshe is talking to the tribes of Reuven and Gad, and makes clear to them, you're going to cross the Jordan, you're going to fight, and then you're going to go back. V'yitem nikiyim me'Hashem u'mi'Yisrael. You have to be clean in the eyes of God and Israel. And that happens to be a halachic concept. There are many halachas that are based on the idea of the Yid and the king. You can't walk around saying, I don't care what they think. No. Yeah. In certain areas, you have to be very careful that nobody should think that you're robbing, you're stealing, you're benefiting. Chas v'shalom. People have to be clean, as Moshe Rabbeinu himself did. That's exactly what Moshe did. He heard some Russia Lex saying, he's dealing with all that money. He didn't end up with a lot of it. He made a testament down to the last penny. Okay.